Welcome to The Other Side of 40. My name is April Grant, and I'm here to help women make positive changes with their lives after the age of 40. Let The Other Side of 40 become your community to find inspiration and support to start the next chapter of your life. And we're back. So I actually want to say a couple things about that. So yes, if you're in a Christian marriage, that's kind of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to put our spouses first. But I think we just don't lean on our community like we used to. I think we don't lean on our families and our friends, and not recent generations, but I think historically we spent a lot more time leaning on family members to help raise our kids, mm-hmm. aunts, uncles, cousins. And I can't imagine that, you know, 10 decades ago or 10 generations ago, women were still having this like eternal struggle of like parenting versus working versus all of this. And I think mm-hmm. it's really more of a new struggle. And yes, part of that is we're in the workplace, which we weren't before. Mm-hmm. But I think the other part is just not feeling okay asking for help. Because it goes back to kind of what you were talking about, that mommy guilt of I'm not doing it all. I'm not there for everything. Mm-hmm. And I hear it constantly with friends and family who are just like, well, I got to be there. And I'm like, not really. I mean, they're an infant. You can hand the infant off. The infant ain't going to know that you're gone. You know, it's like, and I love babies. And they're like, you're going to have more. I was like, no, I'm good, but I'll watch yours. And so I'm like,
I'll watch them.
Take a night off. I don't mind. They can just lay on me all night. I don't care. They're cute. Most of them are super cute. I'll say most of them are super cute and super nice. Well, it's not the cute.
Still wrong, April.
She's just real honest right now.
No. I mean, cute, not in like looks, but like their attitude. Cause you know, some babies are finicky, you know, they're very particular and they want certain things. Like my eldest daughter, I couldn't leave her with nobody. She didn't even like her dad. And I mean that like straight up. She didn't like anybody. She wanted to, the only time she would sleep is if she was physically laying on me.
Oh, I have one like that.
And she wouldn't lay. So dad would come home and he would do the most to get her to sleep. Like the only time he would even take her was when she was trying to sleep, because that's the only time she would allow it. And he would have a pillow on his lap, holding her down because she's screaming because she doesn't want to be with him. And he would have either a fan or a fan oscillating while he's patting her back. And I was like, you are doing the most. And I was like, I appreciate that. But you understand the more you do all of that, the even harder it is for me, because now she's trying to get me to bounce her and fan her and stuff. And I was just like, I can't do all this. I mean, it's enough to have her with me all the time. Anyway, that's a complete aside. I love her. She's great. She's completely my mini me. Like she is. But yeah, I don't think we spend enough time or establishing groups mm-hmm. of women where we can come together and collaborate and help and assist and allow women to just be women. If they need like even a nap, like that's the hardest thing. It's like even taking a break to sleep is a problematic, like asking our spouses, even in those accounts, like, listen, I just need to go to sleep for like 2 hours. Can you take the kids for like, mm-hmm. and like leave the house? Like, you just can't be in the next room because I can't sleep. I need you to like take them somewhere for like 2 hours so I can get some rest. And mm-hmm. you feel so self-care. Bad. Mm-hmm. It is self-care, but you feel so bad about doing that because you're saying, all I'm going to do is sleep while you're gone. And it's simple, but a lot of women just feel bad. I know I did, especially for a long time, I would feel bad to, you know, just say, listen, I'm tired and mm-hmm. I need a break and I need a sleep. Now I'm fine. Now I'm like, listen, I know it's a bit, especially in this COVID time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it'll be not noon. And I'm like, listen, I just got to take a nap. I've been getting up at 5 in the morning. So okay. to go walking. And so, you know, based on whether I slept well or not. And I'm like, I got to be able to make it through the rest of this day. And right now everyone's doing their work quietly. So mm-hmm. let me go take a nap. And then that way, when they're done, I can be fresh mm-hmm. and we can handle the rest of this evening and I can make it through tonight, but through bedtime. So, but that's being comfortable asking those questions and asking for that space and asking for help. And I don't know if we're that good at doing that. I mean, some people are much better than others. I know I'm not great at asking for help.
I was fortunate because my mom lived close to me and she was good for saying, you guys need a break. Let me have the kids. I know everybody doesn't have that. And she sets a high bar because I'm thinking, okay, now I'm gonna have to do that for all three of my kids, you know. But still, yes, you are. I recognize the value and that where she could just, while she could just say, hey, let me take the kids, y'all go out and have some fun. And that was helpful. And so I want to do that for my kids whenever they start having kids, which should be a long time from now. But still, I'd like to be able to do that. I recognize the benefit of that. And then when COVID is not a big thing anymore, I like to do that for my friends because I still have friends who have little kids. Mm-hmm. And I say that so because it's so weird because I had my kids really early in life. So I'd like to do that because we have fun with little kids because we don't have any anymore. So all my kids have fun with other people's little kids. But I do think it helps us to help each other and to have a good network of support, be it family and friends, who can be those folks who can take care of your kid for you. And you can switch off taking care of kids. And one of my favorite things to do when we were had younger kids is to hang out with other people with young kids and be like, nobody else wants us at their house. So my house is kid friendly. Your house is kid friendly. Let's just go visit each other and have a party in our home because we really don't have anywhere to go. So that was our way of getting. We still got, I got pictures of you at my house, Ramel.
I have kids pictures of your kids in the bouncy house at my house. So yeah. And I think that is helpful. And I think it kind of helps to reset if you are open with your friends. I mean, like if you're on that whole comparing yourself to your friends thing, that can be stressful because I'm not doing enough. You know, we play this negative reel in our head so many times. Mm-hmm. And so like, I didn't feel that with you. And so it was easy for me to be like, yes, let's do this, you know, and it felt good to have our kids play together and be together. And it allowed us to spend some time together. And our husband are Sigmas, they're fraternity brothers. So that was like,
that was easy.
That was easy.
It makes it real easy.
Yeah. And, you know, they didn't know each other really, I don't think, beforehand. Did
no,
they?
No, no, we introduced them.
Yeah. So
life hacks, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Life hacks, like, okay.
Oh, no, it makes a huge difference when husband likes husband. It really does, because then they get excited about the possibility of going too. It's not just you forcing them to go somewhere.
Right.
So I'm very excited. So my husband's an alpha. So when we can hang out with another alpha family, because for the most part, there's very few wives I don't like. So
I do not have that experience.
That's why we're friends. That's why we're friends.
I get along with most people, at least in my head I do. I mean, on my side, I'm fine. I don't know if they like me, but I'm fine on my side. So I can go pretty much anywhere, but it's not the same for him. You know, if they're not into the same thing, he's like, oh, I got to go over there, and it becomes a hassle and you don't want to ask.
We had problems like that because maybe I wasn't so great with his friend's wife, or he wasn't so great with my friend's husband. And I'd be like, okay, well, let's see how we're going to make this work. Mm-hmm. I would say at this point, after being under this pandemic for so long, I'm going to hang out with all types of people when this is over. It's going to be like, you know what? You get on my nerves. Let's change the subject so we can have more fun. But I think I may hang out with people I didn't even care for as much anymore because I need the socialization. I crave it. I'm recognizing how beautiful it is to hang out with people in person. Mm-hmm. So I am going to make a change whenever the pandemic allows me to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of the benefits of, you know, the community though, is really making sure that the families can kind of mesh with other families. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I live in a cul-de-sac and I don't know most of my neighbors. Like okay. I live in a gated community in a cul-de-sac and there are families down the street. They've never come over here. They've never shown up. I'm on the HOA board. They don't show up to HOA meetings. So I don't know who the parents are. I don't know.
Are you in my neighborhood? I swear. I don't know people. I live with people, my next. So I don't know my neighbors that well, because it's gone is the time where neighbors hang out all the time and spend time. Now I'll say that, I only say that to set Ramel up, because I know that Ramel has a whole different experience. Neighborhood experience. Yeah, but mine is more like yours, April. I don't really know and hang out with any of my my neighbors, but some people go to concerts with their neighbors and hang out and have cookouts for the neighborhood and joint parties.
I mean, I will say this. I am very, very fortunate that I live on a cul-de-sac where I know all of my neighbors. All of my neighbors know me. All of my neighbors know my children. When I would be running late for work, I could call one of my neighbors and say, please grab my kids off the bus because I'm not going to make it. Wow. And they would go up to, you know, and get them off the bus.
I was with you on like, they know my kids, they know who they are, they've seen them, but calling them and picking them up from the, making sure they're from the bus stop.
The bus dropped them off at the top of the hill of the cul-de-sac. That's not the part
that we're surprised about, Ramel. You got people
that I trust
in your neighborhood.
Yeah. One of my neighbors has a Christmas Eve breakfast where she has all of the neighbors come over and we, you know, come over, we bring a dish or whatever. And it's,
are you listening to this, Tawanda?
I know. Like,
what in the world?
Fire pits in the back. I mean, like, seriously, Tawanda knows it because
this doesn't even seem real.
Our book club came over to our house. I know. Our book club came to my house and I couldn't find like a corkscrew thing. I don't know what happened to mine. I was like, oh, I'll just grab them from my neighbor. And they were like, what? I was like,
a neighbor? Like, you
yeah, the neighbors, they drink wine. They have corkscrews.
You know what they drink?
Yeah.
I could go over their house and ask them, but I don't know if they actually have a corkscrew.
Like, oh, no. Seriously, I'm really, really fortunate. I have been out of all the people who are on my street, I think there's only maybe two neighbors that I wouldn't particularly hang out with. Everybody else I would hang out with.
Wow.
So I think she needs me. I need to move into another neighborhood.
You should just move into hers. So
I already know what house I want.
She does.
I've already picked out the house in her neighborhood that I'd like, because I need a different experience. I'm just too stubborn to leave my own house. I've gotten to a place now. I told you, my husband and I are looking at empty nesting and we are preparing our world for when the pandemic opens up. So we've done some home improvements to make being at home more fun. And we can't wait to invite other people to hang out with us. So I'm not moving anywhere. I'm just going to have to figure out. I might need to find out who in my neighborhood. Like, just like I said, I needed more friends. I'm going to need some neighborhood friends. And I'm going to go find my neighborhood friends so that I can say I have people I know in my neighborhood.
That you at least can borrow a corkscrew from, right?
Right. Exactly. If they don't have a corkscrew, we can't be friends. That is the rule.
That's the rule.
You don't have a corkscrew, we ain't friends.
Baseline. I don't care about your attitude, your political stance, your religion, but do you have a corkscrew?
Yeah.
That's what I need to know.
Actually, I care much about the politics, so that would be two.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Those two.
Politics right now, especially right now, it's
very dividing.
Very divisive. I had,
without actually going into either side, I saw someone yesterday post a graphic and I said, this is misinformation, and that you're classifying the two people that they were classifying in that way. And I said, yes, that's why we're divided, because both of these sides are wrong. And I said, both of the sides are wrong. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's like, well, how? And I was like, I can go into it, but it's apparent that you, that's not what you want. You don't want to actually analyze any of this, because if you did, this wouldn't be a graphic that you post and then say, I don't know why the country's so divided. I'm like,
you know,
it's clear. It's
very clear that you, this is a divisive message that you're posting. And then you're like, I don't know why they are. This is obviously how everyone feels. And I'm like, not at all.
So I'm going to tell you the after 40 scenario for me involved getting rid of things that don't serve me. Mm-hmm. And that includes a lot of people on Facebook.
I did.
It's easy to do. And I say, well, I just want to control what comes into the circle that I choose to be in. Mm-hmm. The Facebook is a circle. And so I have decided, and I'm very comfortable with this decision, mm-hmm. that when there's somebody who really thinks opposite of me politically, I can work with them. You know, I can, that our kids can be in the same events and I can show up for that, mm-hmm. but I will not read their version on Facebook, because we will not be Facebook friends. Mm-hmm. And I will not engage them in a conversation to talk about our differences, because in this political climate, nobody's changing their minds. Nope. And so I'm not wasting my time with that. I might talk mm-hmm. to them, talk to people about different opinions of one other thing, but when it's politics right now,
yeah,
I've decided I'm reclaiming my time. I am not going to spend any of it with that. If you feel that strongly on the other way, that's fine. We're not going to be friends, at least on Facebook.
Not Facebook. Yeah.
You know, so, but I've made some boundaries for myself, mm-hmm. and that feels good, being able to cut out. When I realized I didn't need to be all that busy, I actually am a part of an I've been a part of an organization or two or three, now that I think about it, where I just said, I'm not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. It has me too busy. It has me splitting my priorities. I don't feel comfortable being this busy and prioritizing somebody else's mission. And so I cut off several different organizations that I could have been bragging about. Oh, I held this position in this organization and I'm doing this. And I could have been that person. I decided not to. And I enjoy my free time. I feel like I did something right for myself when I did that.
I think Ooh. That's so important. And I know we've talked about this before, is just that aspect of reclaiming your time. And it doesn't just involve your kids. It involves some of these organizations that you spend every Tuesday going to just because that's what you do. Yeah. Right. And you hear the same arguments and you talk about the same fundraising and, you know, and you plan all this same stuff every year and you don't necessarily feel fulfilled by it anymore. And I know both of us we hit this point where we're like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
We're not doing it. Excuse me for cursing on your show, but let me tell you.
I mark all of them as explicit.
Oh, well then now we can really talk.
Yeah. And lace those together for you. No, I'm only joking. But it's bullshit. It's like, why are we here? Why are we doing this? I mean, yes, if you're involved with it, and I know organizations have good purposes, and mm-hmm. if you're in that moment, you're feeling it, go for it. But right. if you're in it for the motion of it, for people seeing you being there, then it's not serving you anymore. And I know I am just not, I'm not there for that anymore. Right now, I'm reclaiming my time. Like my girlfriend said, we're reclaiming my time. I'm spending it doing what I want, which right now is a lot of podcasting and a lot of, you know, stuff for myself. And I still have to take care of my kids. My husband still wants to be here. So, you know, that's a thing I have to take care of.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear he still wants to be here.
He does.
You added that.
I know, because let me tell you, I made it hard for him at times. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. So, no,
I mean, I completely agree. And initially I'm an educator at heart and I'm in the middle. I'm an independent. I don't have no problem listening to either side argue. But it became this point, especially with this political season, that I was just like, I just can't listen to certain people. It's not everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not everybody on one side. And some of it is on both sides. Some people just got so radicalized on both sides that I was just like, y'all just crazy. Like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. This don't have nothing to do with what's going on. I don't know where you're getting your information. And I just started deleting people. And they're like, we're not going to lose friends. And I was like, listen, that's okay. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Because guess what? I'm the one who has to read it and I'm the one who has to feel it. And if what it's saying is not resonating with me in a positive manner, mm-hmm. why am I reading this? Why am I spending time reading something that like hurts my soul? Like some of the things some of the people are saying hurts my soul. Like it hurts me when people are like adamantly against, you know, white supremacy, when they're not adamantly against white supremacy. Like
that I hurts. I take that personally.
And I do take that very personally.
I make it my responsibility to govern my environment.
Right.
So then I have the right, I'm supposed to watch out for myself. And that's one of the ways I do it. I say, I'm not allowing that in my circle.
Exactly. And so there's that. And then you were saying, wait, you said the Facebook and then what were we say? Oh, shoot. We said something else. I forgot the other part.
Okay.
I remember later. But yeah, so Facebook, I definitely do. But
you said Facebook and then I said organizations.
Organizations. Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So
even the best ones, even great organizations.
Oh, no. My husband was up for a job in California. So we're in West Palm Beach, Florida. He was up for a job in California. And if he got it, everything was going to move super quickly. He was number two and he actually lost it to his mentor. So if he had to lose it, I mean, how bad could it be to lose it to your the one right. person who knows more okay. than you? So anyway, we didn't end up doing it, but because we knew everything was going to move quickly, he was going to start pretty much immediately. I had shut down all the organizations I was a part of. I was just like, listen, I'm going to stop out. I'm going to drop off. I'm going to take a step back, you know, and because if this happens, I don't want to leave anyone any lurches, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to, you know, start projects and then not be able to finish them. So then he didn't get the job. And I was like, do I got to go back?
Yeah, it made you think.
I was like, I am so much less stressed. I don't have to deal with this stuff. Like, I don't have to deal with this drama. I'm like, because they're, you know, some organizations, they still have a lot of kid thinking, even though they're adults mm-hmm. and they're too busy, you know, griping over stuff that don't matter. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm sitting here, you know, stressed out trying to make sure this works. And I got people in the organization fighting against me. And I think the mission of the organization is wonderful. And I just don't have this energy. And so when it didn't happen, I was just like, I will take a step back.
That was your blessing, honey.
Mm-hmm. That was your blessing. Whether or not I go back to this, and it's not going to be now. So far I have not returned.
So April, I wanted to ask you, because sometimes I have moments where I feel like, I compare myself to other people and say, oh, I'm not in as many organizations. Do I look like I care about my community? Because I'm not in them anymore. I have moments of those. I have brief mm-hmm. moments of those. Never strong enough or long enough to actually sign up for any of that again. I usually come back to my senses. But at times, I feel like, am I doing enough?
Yeah.
How about you? That's what I wanted.
Oh, you're asking. Okay, you didn't finish
your question. I'm sorry. Let me finish. April, do you ever feel like you should go back and grab those organizations that you dropped?
Sometimes. I'm not going to say I don't feel that way. Like, you know, especially when they're doing the things that we finally talked about. Right. I really wish I could be a part of it. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, what I'm working on for me personally, mm-hmm. the growth is so much better. Like I feel better about the things that I'm doing because I have more control. One of the organizations became very prescriptive, meaning on a national level, they basically just told all the chapters what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't become fun anymore. I mean, it's not, even though their mission is great, it's not fun to put together someone else's plan especially when it's free. Like, you do what you're paying to be part of the organization, and this is your time. At least it should be able to be fun, like being creative. And part of my fun is being creative. Like, I like doing things that people don't do. I like trying to come up with new ideas, and I can't do that if it's prescriptive. Yeah. So I was just like, nah, I'm good. And yeah, sometimes I have those heart pangs of, oh man, I wish I could, especially when I see them really doing some things. Like, I just got an invite for something they're doing, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember starting to put this together 4 years ago, you know, but they finally doing it. Yeah. And I wish I was more on the ground for that. But on the other hand, I am enjoying being home with my family. I'm enjoying, you know, I started a coaching program. I am working with another organization that I do have a lot more control over, not over, but input.
I'll just be honest. It's input. Okay.
We have a lot more input. I have a lot more input. It's not control. It's input. Control. I feel like I'm actually contributing to the growth of the organization versus just being a cog in the wheel.
Yeah.
See, now that's a bit of growth. That's great. Is you don't want to be a cog in the wheel. You know, you want to be a part of the leadership, and you need to find the right type of organization that allows you to do that. Romel, did you ever feel like you wanted to go back and pick up some of the organizations you dropped?
Not the organizations that I dropped, because the organizations that I dropped have been school related for my kids.
Okay.
However, I can see myself eventually getting back into some kind of service to an organization. It just isn't now going to be now, because right now I'm in the business of serving me and growing myself. Okay. And so, you know, I grew my kids. I, you know, help groom them and things, and they're doing great. My youngest is 14, so I still have a little bit more work to do with her. But so I probably will have some organizations that I'll still work with her. But my focus right now is growing me and the things that I like to do. And then probably when we get a real emptiness where it's Jimmy and I and you know, we'll be filling out time. You know, my husband, your husband, they live for their fraternity. So yeah, she's shaking her head. Yeah,
for real.
So
we get to hang out together sometimes because our husbands are doing fraternity stuff. Yes. And they do it at the same time. It's like, all right, Romel, we get to hang out. It's really convenient.
Yeah. So I imagine that I might pick up an organization that means something to me at that point. But right now I'm just really looking forward to the time to invest in myself.
I'm more like April. I'm thinking I might start an organization that I can help lead and make sure I'm a part of that.
I could see doing that too. I mean, I could see that in that too.
But that's the other thing. Like, I look at my life and, you know, being married, still having my youngest kid is still 7. And I look at a lot of the women in the organizations I'm a part of, and they don't have all of that. You know, that's, they're living for their organization at this point. You know, they're already empty nesters. They already, you know, some are divorced, some are, you know, long-term married, and, you know, they kind of have like, not, I won't say different lives, but, you know, they got other things, their husband's got other things going on. So this is their thing that they have going on. And I just don't, I need people who are going to be like, I need to be part of groups that are purposeful with their time and not just, you know, going through a lot of the motions. And I just, so I'm okay with it. Like I said, like I said about Clubhouse, if it's for me, it's for me.
Right. So
I think we need to keep April. She sounds like my type of woman.
I know, right?
I have a corkscrew.
All right. That's all I needed.
Hey. Well,
that's actually a great place to end. So what can our listeners do? You told us where to find you, but tell us again and tell us what else you got going on that they may be interested in.
Okay. Well, to find us, please, if you're on Facebook, we have a Facebook page and group. I encourage you to look for the Girl Can I Ask You Something podcast page. That's girl with three R's. Yes. And join our group. We have a relatively small group, but it's a very active group. And so it's a very positive group. Tawanda and I want to encourage our listeners to put their input there or their posts, but we're all a positive group. So you'll enjoy that if that's your thing. If you want to come listen to our podcast, again, we are on iTunes, Spotify. I mean, like literally everything, Amazon, you can tell your Alexa to play Girl, Can I Ask You Something podcast, and she'll do it.
She will.
So yeah. So, you can hit us up there and please check in with us through the year. As the pandemic lifts, Twan and I do have some plans to do some things to interact with our people because, like she said, we're tired of being locked up in the house.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to have some events outside of the studio.
Yes, ooh, absolutely.
Looking forward to all of that.
Yeah. So check us out on the Facebook group because we will let everybody know there. Thank you so much, April. Thank you.
I'm glad you guys could come on. It was really exciting. I had such a blast on your podcast, so I knew you guys would be great over here.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of The Other Side of 40. You can find us at our site, theothersideof40.com, and on Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Other Side 40.